From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Melissa Block, and today we conclude a journey we began last year with first-year medical students at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. We were with the students last August, on the first day they started work in the gross anatomy lab, the day they started work on the cadavers they would dissect over the course of 10 weeks. We talked with the students again in late October as they finished up work in the lab to hear how their thinking about the body and about death had changed. On a cold night last November, the students gathered for a moment of passage. The gross anatomy class had just ended. It was hard work, and the students celebrated at a farm in Maryland. There was a bonfire, and the students brought the clothes they wore in the lab, scrubs and socks and underwear, all infused with the pungent smell of embalming fluid. They hoisted the clothes over the flames and let them burn. Last week, another rite of passage, a memorial service to honor the body donors whom the students came to know so well. The service is held each June on the grounds of a psychiatric hospital in Sykesville, Maryland. 2 medical students and their professor played Bach alongside a gray stone marker. It reads, "This monument has been placed with deep appreciation for those who gave unselfishly of themselves to advance medical education and research."
Freeze it! Punch!
An honor guard presented the colors. 100 or so people sat on folding chairs under a canopy of oak trees, the parents, children, and friends of the body donors, whose ashes are buried nearby. Some come to the service year after year. And medical students from Maryland were there, too. The head of the anatomy class at the University of Maryland, Dr. Larry Anderson, talked to the families about what the students learned.
In order for them to gain that reverence for life for their patients, they need to learn how to respect death. They learn that during those times when they're doing dissection. They also get very close to your loved ones and friends for those many hours that they spend with them. They need closure also, just as you do.
After the service, we found Peg Feldman. Her husband of 57 years died 5 years ago and donated his body to science. She called him the ultimate environmentalist.
We frequently talked about the waste of space that cemeteries take. And so we both decided together that we would donate our bodies. I did have misgivings after he died because I thought, what do they do with them afterwards? But then you think about, well, what sense does it make to put a body in the ground?
Now, did you get a chance to talk to any of the medical students who were here today?
Yes, I did. They said it meant a great deal, and they said there was no way they could have learned from reading in a book or listening to a professor, as they did when they worked with the body.
A group of those medical students gathered to talk about the arc of their first year. Allie Parnes, we met her in an earlier story, also Shayna Rich, Molly Sauerwein, Yiming Gao, and Christian Wright. And I asked them this question. 7 months after the end of the gross anatomy class, have they forgotten a lot of what they learned?
Oh, yes.
I remember running into Dr. Anderson months after saying, gosh, I don't remember anything. And it's comforting to hear him say that you will see it over and over again before you ever practice on a real patient. That was reassuring.
Shayna, have you had those moments of self-doubt?
Oh, yes. Sheer panic that I managed to pass anatomy, but eventually I'm going to have to take an exam that covers something about anatomy. And then, heaven forbid, one day I'll actually see patients. But eventually I should pick some sort of specialty, one presumes, and not have to know the entire human body.
The first day that we were with you, and your first day in that class, there was a lot of wonder at everything you were seeing. We'd walk around the room and there would, you know, be, wow, and look at that. And I wonder whether by the end of the class that had changed. You'd gotten a little used to what
no
you were discovering.
Way. No way. When I saw the parotid gland, wow, that's huge. The sciatic nerve.
Well, you're always looking at something new. You're always looking at something different, so it doesn't get old.
How about the bones and the ear? Yeah, were you guys totally thrilled with that?
Yeah. Wow, they're so small.
You see a picture of them in a book, and they look just like it. You can't believe it, you know?
And everyone's different. I mean, everybody's anatomy is different. So
that's the interesting part, because remember how they told us brachial plexus is like this, it makes an M. But in our patient, but in our cadaver, the left arm was perfect, textbook perfect. The right arm was completely different. So that just shows you that there are things that definitely cannot be learned from just the book.
We were curious when we started talking to you and some of your classmates about how your thinking would change over the course of the class, in terms of how you thought about death and how you thought about illness. Ellie?
I think I mentioned that our cadaver had obviously put up a strong fight to stay alive. He had melanoma that had metastasized, and there were tumors all over his body. And there was fluid in his lungs. There was a tumor on his esophagus that was enormous. And actually, I mean, that was really difficult for us because we went through the process of his dying. And what I learned, I think, what I took away is that how precious life is and what a gift it is and how much suffering people will actually put up with just to stay alive and just to stay here a little bit longer. I just remember thinking that that I'll see patients and how important it is to remember that our will to fight is really enormous, and it's a precious gift that we try to hold on to.
Yiming, any thoughts on how the class shaped how you feel about death and about illness?
I think looking at some of these bodies and problems and things that they went through, I thought more about what quality of life must mean to these people. And sometimes they didn't have the option of choosing whether to live or die. Sometimes choosing to live longer is not necessarily the choice if they had it.
Christian?
In December, I went to a funeral. And, of course, this was after anatomy was over. And it was a different experience going to, you know, see the body in the coffin. You know, the way that in our society, we don't want to think about death. And when we have a funeral, we want people to look even better than they did when they died. Often they look the best that they ever did, you know? And it might as well be something made out of wax. It's been so processed and it's been made up to look a certain way. And it made me really think more literally. And then I was, you know, I think more about my own death and what that will mean, what that experience is going to be like. And, you know, I'm only 26. And you know, how many people when they're 26 are thinking about when they're going to die? But that got me thinking about it too.
Molly?
Well, one thing I kept thinking about over and over was what it took for a person to give themselves like this to benefit future of medicine for something that they won't benefit from themselves. I still even have a hard time getting my mind around that kind of generosity to most selfless gift that you can give. I mean, there's nothing that you really get in return. So it was kind of a thought that kept thinking about throughout the course.
Can I share one more thought that I had? I don't know if you guys noticed this on your cadavers, if this was true, but some of the cadavers had very long toenails, and it was very obvious that though they might have been getting, you know, the important life-saving care that they needed, some of the other details were not being maintained. So our cadaver had very long toenails, and I remember feeling sorry for him that no one was there to keep up with that kind of thing for him and, you know, have him hold on to some of the dignity maybe. And around that time, I have a neighbor who's very old and she has arthritis, and she was outside her house complaining that her daughter hadn't been to visit in a while and her nails were so long that, you know, she was really upset that her daughter hadn't come to help her trim her nails. And I said, Dorothy, hang on a minute, I'll be right back. And I went and I got my clippers. I couldn't look at her and not help her trim her nails. I just thought about the people who hadn't been cared for. And, you know, thought that was important.
Tell me about the last day in the Gross Anatomy Lab when you were leaving those bodies behind. Shana, did you mark the ending in any way?
I don't remember exactly what we did. It's funny because on the one hand, you know that this is a very special experience. And on the other hand, you're very caught up in the rest of med school, and you know that you have an exam, and you can't really take the time until summer to really think about things. And that's one of the reasons why I'm glad that they wait and have this in the summer and invite all of us back, because it really does give you more of a chance to reflect on things.
Christian, was there a moment when you sort of closed the door on anatomy class?
Yes, I can remember it very vividly. It was, we had our white coat ceremony to mark the end of anatomy, and my parents were there, and I took them to the anatomy lab, and of course, I was all excited about my body. I was like, want to come see my cadaver? And my parents weren't nearly as excited as me.
Please no.
But we were about to leave, and I felt like, I can't go. Like, I have to say goodbye to this cadaver. It was someone, you know, had gotten to know this person so well and so intimately. It was almost like leaving a family member. I had to go over. I felt like I needed to do it. I went over and just kind of lifted up the sheet and just kind of stayed there for a second and left.
Allie, was there a moment for you that marked the end of that class?
I remember I kind of put my head down at the table and silently said goodbye in my mind and acknowledged the gift that he had given us and that I thanked him. I mean, I don't exactly know the order of my thoughts, but I definitely did.
You mean?
I think, in a way, I guess I missed the moment to sort of say goodbye, and I think back on it often once we went into cellular molecular biology and, you know, the next course, and I kept thinking, okay, I have to do this memorial service in the summer because this is closure for me, you know, personally, and during the year, we're just emotionally and intellectually just not all there because we're so worried about other things and aspects of life, just trying to stay above water. And now I feel like I have more of myself available to actually say thank you. Thank you for this.
That's Yiming Gao, also Allie Parnes, Christian Wright, Shayna Rich, and Molly Sauerwein. In August, they'll enter their second year of medical school at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. You can hear the earlier stories at our website, npr.org.